The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God. Well, brethren, you probably know or you've seen someone that basically is walking around and doesn't really have a clue what's really going on around them. I mean, they act, they speak, just, you know, splurt out things, and like I said, they have no concern about anything. Matter of fact, late night talk show hosts, along with newscasts, they go out and they interview people on the street, asking questions and comments about particular subjects or opinions. And most of them will give you an answer before they think about the answer they're given. And it makes them look foolish. Well, why is this? Well, we could say that maybe they have lack of discernment in their life. Now, discernment is the act or the process of exhibiting keen insight, using good judgment. And it is something that all of God's people should have that's manifesting in their life. But let's take it one step further. Do we have spiritual discernment in our life? Now you're probably asking, okay, what is spiritual discernment? Well, I have a working definition to give. Spiritual discernment is weighing what we hear and see in our daily life to be able to speak and act on the truth of God, making righteous decisions that pleases and glorify God in all we do. It's how we see God and the good of God. It's how He works to achieve His marvelous plan of salvation for man. It helps us to identify. It helps us to see sin and how ugly it is and where mankind is being led by the influence of Satan the devil. And through spiritual discernment, we know how it's going to all unfold and fulfill the prophecies of God as we understand the sign of the times. The world right now, they're tied up in their own deceit, doing their own things, not able to see how they are degenerating as a nation and as a people. So let's look at some examples that God's people may have to overcome to build and strengthen their spiritual discernment. Let's begin in Revelation. We've been going there several times the last couple weeks, and you probably know where I'm going in Revelation chapter 3. And picking up in verse 14. It says, Revelation 3:14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things say the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were cold or hot." See, Laodicea describes the moral condition or attitude of the church close to the end of the age. They believe that they are right in their own eyes, and they stand before God perfect, not needing anything from Him. And because of their lack of spiritual discernment and seeing God, they're satisfied with their current conditions or situations, and they're unconcerned about changing anything. As verse 16 and 17 says, "So then, because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth, because you say that I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." So this group of people are in one sense self-satisfying, self-complacent, boasting about its own wealth and strength and knowledge, but fails to realize they are lacking spiritual discernment in their life. So what does Jesus Christ do? He counsels them and says, "Buy from me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, in white raiment, and that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, so you may see." See, Jesus Christ wants them to give up all of their selfishness and put on spiritual discernment, so they can exhibit in their life a keen insight, having good judgment in all that they do. So when one is lacking spiritual discernment in their life, they never see themselves as a sinner. Let's look in the book of Luke, chapter 18. We can read an account here. In Luke, chapter 18, and picking up in verse 10, reading to verse 10 through 13. It said, "Two men went up to the temple and pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, as even this publican.'" I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. The publican, standing afar off, would not even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. See, one of these men had spiritual discernment, and the other did not. Which one do we choose to be? See, God gives to those who diligently seek after him the knowledge and wisdom we need for discernment, and how to allow it to grow in our life through the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6. It says, for the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. One thing that sometimes we don't understand is people just don't gain wisdom on the efforts of their own. Wisdom is coming from something that where somebody teaches us. We learn it from someone. And God is the giver of wisdom. God gives it according to his laws and his goodness. And if we depend upon God and seek him for wisdom, he will enable us to understand and keep his paths of judgment. As verse 7 through 9, he says, he lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment, and he preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equality, yes, even every good path. So God enlarges our view of his wisdom that he gives to those who seek after his righteousness. Wisdom is the shield that guides the saints to continue to walk in light. And when wisdom and knowledge influence our thoughts and desires, there is a desire of strength to resist temptation. Continuing, it says, when wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you. So we will have the quality of behavior when speaking or acting out to others to avoid offending, and through God's understanding, we put on discernment to where we have the ability to make righteous judgments. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, whatever gifts that God bestows on you or his people, they're in various ways that God's Spirit works with us, and many ways that they're manifested. It's all for the common benefit of the church. See, God has given no gifts just to one person for his own private advantage or being as an exclusive gift. It is to be shared with one another. It is to be shared with the body to edify and to strengthen it. We receive certain gifts so that we may benefit others and help others and ourselves towards salvation. See, we cannot grow unless others are willing to grow with us, because it takes all of us to make the body whole. In verse 8, it says, for to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same spirit, to another faith by that spirit, to another gifts of healing by that spirit, to another a working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these work that one with the same self-spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. See, it takes us all to work together to become one body. Like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, be followers of God as dear children, walking in love as Christ loves us, and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet savor, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body also is Christ. So discernment is being able to weigh what we hear and see in the world and applying it to the Word of God, to where we can make righteous decisions discerning our Lord, understanding the truth of God, to where we constantly speak of the righteousness of God. So what are some ways that we can build on and learn how to have spiritual discernment in our life? Well, the first point is to watch and to pray that we might be worthy to escape. As we've heard, you know, of things on the news, on how bad things are in certain parts of the world, as Satan's rule is coming closer to an end, society, as we know, will become more influenced through wickedness and through destruction than ever before. Mankind will constantly remove anything godly from their life, believing that they know how to fix all the problems of the world. Today, we also see people that like to talk to mediums, or you might see them on TV, different types of shows, how people will go to have their palm read to see what their future may hold and see what's in store for their life. Some might think of it's just harmless fun, while others making it a religious ritual in their life. See, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came to Jesus, tempting and desiring him that if he would show them a sign of heaven. Let's read that account in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 2 through 4, he says, "He answered and he said unto them, When it is evening, you will say, It's going to be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, and he left and departed them." See, God has given us many details on the events that are going to take place at the end of the age. But are we paying attention to them, brethren, making ourselves ready as we have been commanded to do? Praying for knowledge, studying to become wiser in the Word of God, watching and praying, learning how to discern the sign of the times. See, the world is only looking out for themselves, and they have no clue what's really going on at their doorstep. They believe that everything will just be fine, may get worse, but eventually it always seems to work itself out and straighten up. Well, let's go to Luke chapter 21. Book of Luke, chapter 21, and verse 32. It says, "Truly I say to you, this generation shall not pass away until all of these things are fulfilled." And this is the generation that will be alive at the time that all the prophecies will come to pass. But it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And take heed for yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with headache and drinking and anxiety of this life, and that day should suddenly come on you. For it shall come as a snare on those who are sitting on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, pray in every season, that you may be counted to and worthy to escape all of these things which shall occur and stand before the Son of Man." So, brethren, we need to watch and to pray. A second point is principles of good leadership. See, we are in training to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Discernment is a very important part of leadership. We must learn how to be wise, knowing the difference between truth and fiction. See, if we cannot govern our own lives in matters of right and wrong, how are we going to be able to rule a nation or a society along with Jesus Christ? So let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. We can see the gift that Solomon received from God, and picking up in verse 9, it says, "Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, your so great a people?" Well, before we can be a good leader, there's a few things that take place. One, we must be a good listener to be able to hear the voice of God's word through our personal Bible study, submitting ourselves to God in the obedience and everything, so we can understand what is really being said, while having patience to hear the whole matter of the cases that are involved and understand it fully so a righteous judgment can be made or executed. See, both qualities are needed in order to be a good leader. Dropping down to verse 19, we see where listening and patience along with godly wisdom deals with truth and deception. In 19 through 22, it says, "And the woman's child died in the night because she overlaid on it. And she rose at midnight, and she took the son from beside me while thy handmaiden slept, and laid on her bosom, and laid her dead child on mine. And when I arose the morning to give my child food, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in that morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, No, but the living is my son, and the dead is your son. And this said, No, the dead is your son, and the living is my son. Thus spoke before the king." And what this was, there was two women, and you know the story. One child died, the other didn't, so they took it to the king. And what happened? Well, before we know how the story ends, how would you have judged? How would you have made a determination of what needed to be done? In verse 24 through 27, the king said, "Well, bring me a sword." And they brought a sword to the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child into two and give one half to one and one half to the other." Then spoke the woman, who the living child was, unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, and said, "O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it." But the other said, "Let it be neither mine nor hers. Divide it." But the king answered and said, "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." See, Solomon listened to both sides of the story. He listened to the matter that was at hand, being patient, allowing the truth to emerge from deception. We, brethren, are in training to learn how to rule over matters in our own life. And are we pleasing God by the actions and the decisions that we have to make? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And picking up in verse 2, it says, "Do you know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy or disqualified to judge the smallest matters?" See, if we cannot understand how to solve the smallest problems in our life, how are we going to be able to help guide others to solve their issues when that time arises? As verse 3 says, "Know you not that you shall judge angels, and how much more things that pertain to this life?" See, Paul is speaking out in the quarrels in Corinth that the saints will judge angels. Then how much more capable are we able to resolve our own differences or practical business matters without having to go to counsel outside of the church? As verse 4 says, "If then you have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who least esteemed in the church." So what we're to do is to turn it over to those who are impartial, that have nothing to gain or lose by the decision based on the word of God. See, we are in training to be not leaders, but great leaders of our Father, and to do all that we can to become just like our Father in heaven. A third point is having real Christian practice in our life. What do we do behind closed doors? Are we living a lifestyle that is pleasing to God, but yet when everybody else is not around or away from us, what are our actions then? We are to remain holy in the sight of God, keeping our focus on Him and discerning about what's right and wrong, as we serve and set the example fully in our life daily. In Ezekiel chapter 44, Ezekiel chapter 44 and verse 23. It says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes and all thy assembly, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths." See, we cannot be a Christian just on the Sabbath day only. It is a lifetime commitment that we've made. And as a professing Christian today, they believe that judging is only a job for God. But that's not exactly a 100% true statement. See, God gives us directions through His Word how we are to live our life, serving one another, and how we are to deal with sin when it raises its ugly head. And it's only through God's Holy Spirit we learn how to have that spiritual discernment we need in order to know how to deal with each problem that arises in our life. See, we have to make the judgment on how things may affect our life. Is it sin or is it not? How will the decision I make today may or not violate God's laws? See, as we press forward to follow God, God sees our effort. And if we please Him, He writes our name in the book of life, becoming His very own jewel. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "Then they shall be feared. The Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. In that day I will make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serve him not." So as we heard earlier, we are a peculiar treasure to God. We are to live for Him, just as Jesus Christ had done in His physical life, serving Him even to death. We do the same in every facet of our life, regardless what the situation is that we may find ourselves in. Because there is a scripture that says, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, are we going to fear evil or are we not going to fear evil? Because we know that God is with us and His rod and staff comfort us. See, just like the Bible says, as well as with society today, many people who read the Bible, and many people today, they believe that God is an unfair God because of situations that they may find themselves involved in. I mean, after all, I've heard many people say, and you've probably heard it too, you know, why would God allow something so drastic to happen? And one of the biggest things that affect people are babies. You know, why would He allow babies to be hurt or whatever? Why does He allow some to live the ripe old age of 95 or older and others barely make it out of their teens? Why? Well, one of the reasons they think this is because they fail to see God's master plan. They lack spiritual discernment. He knows what is best for each one of us. And He knows how we interact with Him or without Him. See, it is nothing for God to be able to raise the dead or to perform miracles for whatever purpose He chooses or desires. What we sometimes put our focus at is on the why question, when we shouldn't be even thinking why at all. See, those who believe that God is unfair cause a lot of their own problems and stress because through lacking that discernment in the matters at hand, because they continually make the wrong choices. Another point is using wisdom in choosing our friends. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. And picking up in verse 26, it says, "The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces him." See, a just man guides his neighbor, or is always willing to help him, because it's his way of service to God. He wants to please God by helping his neighbor. And God rewards him in grace, comfort, physical and spiritual blessings that are poured out through the Holy Spirit. Which, brethren, those are really the true riches of life. God's promises. The righteous is abundantly blessed. But he's not blessed through the world's goods. I mean, yes, there are some times that God allows us worldly things. But we're not really seeking those. They just happen to come with the spiritual blessings that God has given us. But they're not blessed by just the world's goods. God promises that you will receive these blessings if you remain faithful. While the evil man desires to only want to flatter himself in his own carnal knowledge, because he does things that are contrary to the ways of God. He is always desiring to give himself glory because of his own craftiness and deception. See, there is a saying that we become like the environment that we are surrounded around. We must choose our friends carefully because their wickedness could lead us astray. So no matter how much we think we know about God and his plan of salvation and his laws and commandments, it's still not enough to take on Satan and his demons. We must always maintain our focus on God, allowing him to fight our battles, looking at him that we are doing what is right in his sight. So we need to stay close to him, yearning for his word, praying for understanding, so we are able to walk according to God, having wisdom to decipher between the truth and the deception. See, when we allow God to lead us, God's Spirit enlightens our mind and influences our heart to take notice of our surroundings. We know what's going on because we're watching and praying, we're studying for the wisdom. They all start to go hand in hand because of the discernment that we have. But he enlightens our minds, influences in our heart. We take notice of our surroundings, so we are able to discern what affects us in the lifestyle, because we cannot serve God if we don't know how God wants to be served. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 14 and 15. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believe with an infidel?" Now, once again, I've heard people come up and claim and say, "See, this proves that we're not supposed to have any relationships outside of the church." But is that what it's really saying? See, if we are to be lights of the world, ambassadors of Jesus Christ, showing God's way of life, if we bury that light, what good or what purpose does it have? If we're staying a hermit and not associating with anyone in the world, how can we be a witness to God's magnificent plan? No, we're not to be unequally yoked with those who knowingly steal, lie, cheat, wanting to do harm to others. We have an example. We have a standard that we must keep, that no man can find fault. As verse 16 says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And if God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." See, wherever God dwells, there is righteousness surrounding him. And if God dwells in us, we are holy. The last point I have is being able to know the difference between good and evil. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5. Picking up, we'll be reading verse 11 through 14. Hebrews 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, saying that you are dull of hearing. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God. We become such as need of milk, and not of strong meat. See, if we have dull hearing, we become sluggish, brethren. We become lazy in studying God's word, lacking spiritual discernment, which hinders our outlook by narrowing our vision in the direction that God is wanting us to follow. See, when we first began learning about God, we were babes in Christ, receiving only the milk of the word. And as we were diligent to learn and to understand what God's desire for us, we continued to grow in His knowledge, having our faith increased, and be able to identify what is good and what is bad according to God's word. And as we walk with God, constantly moving forward on our knees, following His discretion and His direction, He gives us strength to where we can discern even the complex issues that may confront us. See, God wants us to know the difference between His spiritual way and the blessings that it follows with it by following God's way of life from the physical ways of the world, which are temporary. It's the way of selfishness and the get way of attitude. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. It says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" See, there is nothing so false or deceitful than the heart of man. The apprehensions of things, the hopes, the promises in which it nourishes, the assurance that the heart can give us is basically unsearchable by others. And if we allow it, our heart can actually get us to go astray or to go against God's way of life. See, man's heart is incapable of seeing the things in a straightforward manner. But it is shrewd, it is guile, and ever seeking to overreach others. Only God sees our true intention. We can only see people through the fruit of their labor. In verse 10 it says, "I am the Lord that search the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his way and according to the fruit of his doing." This phrase, according to his ways, kind of intrigues me, because what is it, you know, exactly saying? Well, if we die tomorrow, what's hopefully the next thing we're going to see? Jesus Christ. So, according to his ways, his course of life, when he comes before God, the judgment, he's either going to stand in front of God for his reward, for the legacy that he has left, doing good, or he's going to have his final result to show his real nature through the acts of his habits in life. Brethren, what kind of legacy are we leaving behind? Is it one that is allowing our name to be written in the book of life? Or is it one that is willing to cater to the physical possessions that man has to offer? So how can we increase our spiritual discernment in our life to where it pleases God? Well, let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart unto understanding, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." See, as we seek after the knowledge of God and learn from His understanding, we will find the answers to life and know how to have proper discernment that God is looking for in His people. We will not be afraid of the present conditions of society because we see foresight. We see where God is taking His people. And God says He will take care of us. Those who have cherished the Word of God in their heart lives every moment to serve God openly and to glorify Him. They dedicate their life to Him in serving, showing in everything that they do, for they delight to do the will of God. They respect God's law. They cherish it in their heart, seeking godly wisdom and understanding, having spiritual discernment, because it teaches those principles by which he may attain God's guidance and to avoid society's influences and wickednesses. In Proverbs 11, flipping over a few pages, Proverbs 11 and verse 8 and 9, it says, "The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked come in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." See, are we the type that like to point, you know, other people's faults out while ignoring our own? See, whether it's making accusations on a person or speaking in a way that may defame them, God gives us choices to make. Are we making the right choices that are pleasing to God? See, an upright society or the righteous man seldomly ever gets noticed. They may be criticized for the behavior or their actions because they do things in a different way that is contrary to the way other people do them. And unfortunately, what the wicked do not really think about is because of the upright man, one who's following God, might be the reason they are blessed. Dropping down to verse 14, it says, "Where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety." So, brethren, we need to stay close to God's word and fulfill it. What we understand is very vital on how we become like God in our services towards Him, being His people. There is no shame for asking for help, for guidance, for direction from others to help us further our knowledge in God. Receiving a multitude of counsel also helps us realize how much we need to have spiritual discernment in our life, but also how much we need each other. See, the seven churches in the book of Revelation, God points out to each of them their good and their bad. Six of them had problems. They lacked spiritual discernment in their life. Brethren, where is it in ours? For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.